If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
This happened probably 15 years ago now, and I still have absolutely no explanation as to why it happened. So, I live in a really big city, and I'm an extrovert, which is perfect for me. I love going out and mingling with people. Despite living in a big city, it really has a nice community feel where I live, and this is what I've always craved my entire life. I work from home, so I get a little bit lonely, so being an extrovert, I go outside and mingle with people all around. I do this every day, and it's one of those things where everyone knows me and I know them. So why what happened only happened to me, I don't know. So one day, I just come back in after going out for a short break and chatting with some of the locals around the neighbourhood, and I sit down in my chair to finish the rest of my work. It's the time of day where it's dark, but not really dark. It's that level of brightness where if you're going to read a book, you need to turn a light switch on. All of a sudden, I can see this light flashing through my window against my wall. It's flashing through in a really rhythmic pattern, and I can't really figure out what it means or what is happening. I thought maybe there was some sort of police car outside, but I look outside and I don't see any police cars. Now, there's a row of bushes about 20 foot away from where I live, and from inside those bushes, I could see someone, vaguely in the distance, flashing a torch through my window in a rhythmic pattern. I don't know what it meant or why they were doing it. Maybe it was Morse code, I don't know. I bang on the window, and then I run outside and go shout at them and ask them what they're doing. But by this point, they were gone. It kind of confused me. Why was someone flashing a light through my window in a slow, controlled manner? Did it mean anything? Were they trying to get a message to me? I don't know. My brain was running wild and I was completely confused. Anyway, nothing happens for around 3 weeks. One day, when I'm doing my work again from home, I hear some posts come through the postbox. Obviously, this isn't uncommon, but when I go to get up and see what was there, nothing's been delivered. I was certain that I could hear someone putting something through my postbox, as if they were fiddling around trying to push something through. But when I get there, nothing's there. I open my door and look around and nothing. No one. No sight of anyone. This is where I'm starting to get creeped out. Is someone playing a game with me? Why have I had two weird experiences in the space of 3 weeks? I go and speak to my neighbours about it, and they say that they'll keep a lookout, but they've had nothing happen to them. This is where I'm getting a little bit concerned. I make sure that I keep all my doors locked at night, and I actually put a baseball bat under my bed, just in case anything happens. Now, call me paranoid, but why is this happening to me and nobody else? What do they want from me? Is it someone playing a prank on me? Have I got a stalker? What's going on? Anyway, another 3 or 4 weeks passes, and I can hear the postbox rattling again. I walk up, and I can see someone putting their hand through the postbox, but nothing coming through. I quickly run up to the door again, open it, and what I see this time is someone running down the road away from the house. This is when I realise that something's definitely off. I call the police and tell them what happened, but there's nothing they can really do about it. There's no cameras nearby, so they tell me that if anything happens again, to give them a call back. This irritates me, but I decide that the best thing to do is to make sure my house is as safe as possible and to let my neighbours know again what's been happening. Again, the neighbours say that nothing's happened with them, but they're going to keep an eye out and look out for anyone who seems suspicious near my house. Another 2 or 3 weeks pass, and at this point I can hear something coming from my postbox. This time I'm ready. I run up to the door, but as I do, I realise that a letter has just come through the postbox, so I decide not to swing the door open and startle the postman. I pick up the letter and open it, and that's when I realise it's not a normal letter. It's on a A4 sheet of paper, and all that's written in large letters is "Hi" and a smiley face underneath. And that's when I realise that someone is definitely playing a game with me. At this point, I'm ready for this person. I want to find out who it is, so I stay up all night. Because I work from home, I can do my work whenever I want to. I decide that I'm going to stay vigilant and put my work desk right next to my window. However, when I do this, nothing seems to happen for a good 3 or 4 months. I decide that maybe the person just gave up and they were playing a prank on me. In the end, I give up and put my table and desk back to where it was before. I assume that the person was giving up playing pranks on me and that they got bored or something. So everything's normal for the next 2 years. That's when all of a sudden I get a letter come through my postbox that says, "You're in danger," in the same handwriting as before. This is when I realise that things are going to start happening again. To be honest with you, I'd saved up enough money at this point to where I could just move out. And that's what I decided to do. I put my house up on the market and I move out. This is around, like I say, 15, 20 years ago now. I moved away and nothing ever has happened since. I hope this person hasn't tracked me and found out where I live now, but it's been 20 years, so I'm assuming that everything's fine. I don't know what happened to the house after I left. I was so scared. I did tell the police again, but again, there's nothing they could do. As far as I know, nothing's happened with the neighbours in that area. I keep in contact with a few of them, and sometimes we talk about it, but nothing's happened since. So whether I had a stalker, or what, I don't know. I don't know what this person wanted. I don't know if they were going to try and rob me, if they just wanted to mess with me. But why put a letter through my postbox that says, "You're in danger," 2 years after the initial letter? I don't get it. I don't get people in general, and I don't know what this person wanted with me. But I'm happy to say that I'm safe and happy where I live now, and nothing's ever happened to me since. And hopefully, this person has no clue where I am. I live in an area in England that is particularly beautiful. There's green and pleasant lands all around, and lots of country parks, which I'll get to in a moment. Me and my wife are getting to, but we're not at retirement age just yet. My knees are pretty busted up from lots of hard work throughout my working life and years of sports before that, so I can't really go on the paths I want to go on. There's a local village and a school, and my family are nearby, so we're pretty well situated. Anyway, almost every day, me and my wife try and get up and walk our dogs around these country parks. Now, there's one of them which is my favourite, but I can't really use. There's lots of hills and lots of areas that are a little bit slippery for me. I really want to be able to ride a bike up and down these hills, but I just can't manage it at the moment. So we normally avoid that one. There's another one that has a beautiful lake that runs alongside the path, which is better in the summer. And there's another one that's most nearby that is pretty flat, and it's almost like a gravel path that runs for a few miles and leads back to a general car park. So that's the one we normally take. Normally, I get the dogs in the car. We have two dogs, one called Stacy and one called Happy. I know Happy's a funny name, but our granddaughter named it. But anyway, so we take the dogs, we get them in the car, and we walk along these trails. Normally, everything's fine, but this one time, our dog Happy was acting a little bit strange. She was acting as though she was getting spooked by things, which she doesn't normally. So we kept walking and just found it a little bit odd. That's when we noticed a group of young guys walking behind us, all of their hoods up. Now, I'm not particularly worried about this. They appear just to be walking around, and who knows, they could just be a group of friends that are walking around the path too and enjoying the day. But after another half an hour of walking around, I start getting suspicious. Every single turn we make, they make too. There's various different routes you can take along this path, and they all lead back to the same place, but take various different routes to get there. The chance of someone following you on this route is pretty slim, but they follow us through every single narrow winding path, and at one point they start to get a little bit closer. Now, I'm getting kind of freaked out, and the dogs are spooked out too. My wife says sometimes dogs have a kind of sixth sense, and they can tell when something's not right. Maybe this is the case, because I turn around and I say to my wife I'm going to go speak to the guys. As I start walking towards them, they disperse and walk away into the wooded areas. Now, with my knees being bad, I can't be walking over all the broken logs and slippery leaves that are on the floor, so I just throw my hands up in the air and walk back. I say to my wife that we should head back to the car, and we decide to do that. So we slowly put the dogs on their leads and walk back to the car. As we're maybe 200 meters from the car park, these guys appear even closer to us this time. That's when they realize that we're probably going back to our car, and they start walking even faster towards us. They're probably only 20 feet behind us still, but they're really making ground on us, and with my knees aching, I can't walk much faster. I tell my wife to take the dogs and get in the car, to which she does. She jogs towards the car and puts the dogs in, but as soon as they see her jog, they start light jogging too. This is when I get really freaked out. I'm not sure whether I should turn around and confront these guys, or head back to the car. I decide the best thing to do is keep walking at a normal pace, which I do. I get back to my car, and my wife has put the dogs in and is sitting in the driver's seat of the car. As I'm about to open my door, the guy starts to sprint towards my car. That's when I get in my car quickly, shut and lock the doors, and tell my wife to drive. We speed off in a hurry and out the gate, just as the guys reach our car. I look back in the mirror, and I can see the guys shouting at each other and pointing at each other, clearly annoyed that we'd got away. I don't really know what these guys wanted with us, and I don't know what their plans were, but I'm glad that me and my wife got away. Now, this experience isn't going to deter us from going back to these country parks again, but we're definitely going to have to stay more vigilant. This happened to me probably 8 years ago now, and I'm 20 years old now. I live in a small town. It's not necessarily in the middle of nowhere, but it's fairly remote. I'm outside of a big city, so people still pass through. I've worked the same dead-end job that I've been in since I was 16 or 17 years old. Most of my friends have moved out of town now, so I'm a bit of a loner. We still keep in touch, but you know, it's not the same when you can't see people in person. The shop that I work in is really close to this huge shopping mall. The shopping mall is inside of a quarry-looking thing. If you've seen one before, you know what I'm talking about. It's almost like there's massive steep hills all around, and there's a shopping mall in the middle of it. It's kind of confusing to describe, but if you've seen one, you'll know. So, I work in a shop that's probably only a 15-minute walk from this shopping mall. Every single day after work, I get off probably around 5 o'clock, sometimes 7 depending on when I start, and I just go for a mooch around the shopping mall. I find there's something so relaxing about just putting your headphones in and going and buying a drink or something to eat and just looking around at clothes that you can't afford or things that you want to buy in the future. Just having a casual stroll by yourself, minding your own business and enjoying your own company. It's something that I've done since I worked in this job, and to be honest, it never gets old for me. My job can be fairly stressful sometimes. It's not necessarily the people that work there. I actually get on quite well with a lot of them, but they're not really my friends. It's the customers that are really causing me problems. They're just so rude to me sometimes, and it really gets me down. So this one day, I especially wanted just to get out, put my headphones on, and just go about my routine, and just try and decompress a little bit. Well, anyway, one day, I was walking out of work, and typically you have to turn right and walk around these winding paths that lead to the shopping mall. It probably takes around 15 minutes and it's on a gradual decline all the way down to the shopping mall. That's where the bus stops are too to get out. It's probably a 15 minute drive to get back to my house, and on the bus it probably takes 25 minutes. It's not too far away and the buses run until about midnight, so I haven't got too much problem with getting home. However, I know of this other way to get down to the shopping mall. Now, this is a particularly lazy way to go about it, but it's something that me and my buddies discovered way back in the day. It probably cuts 10 minutes off the route. If you cross over the road, there's a line of shrubbery and bushes that winds all the way down the path. Now, you would think that behind these bushes is just a gate or something to stop people from falling down the hill. But no, if you push past all these bushes, there's actually a little level of a dirt road that winds all the way down. Now, I say a road, it's kind of more of a muddy track that has loads of empty cans and pieces of burnt wood and rocks and stones all around. Probably only around 6 foot in length, and then it drops down into the area that leads to the shopping mall. It's a fairly steep drop, but as long as you're careful, you can sort of scoot your way down it and get to the shops so much quicker. Now, this is something we discovered way back when we were young, and it's one of those things that kids seem to know about, but adults haven't got a clue. You know, it's one of those ones. So I decided that this is the route I'm going to take. Now, like I say, I finished work at either 5 or 7, and on this day, it was 7 o'clock, and it was dark outside. Probably not the best time to be doing this, but I've never had any problems before, so why not? So I sort of barged my way through these bushes, scraping myself a little bit, but I'm fine. That's when I get onto the little path. Now, normally no one's there, but as soon as I jump down, 4 or 5 people turn around and look at me. They've all got their hoods up and things covering their faces, so I can't see who they are. I'm a little bit of a nervous person in general, so this shocks me and I don't know what to say. I go to turn around and go back up the path, but one of them grabs me and tells me not to go. This is the point where I'm really scared. They tell me to empty my pockets, to which I do. They take my phone off me and my wallet, and to be honest, I'm pretty shaken at this point. I don't know what to do. And that's when someone else says, "Take his watch too." Now, this watch is massively sentimental to me. It's something that was given to me by my father before he passed away. So, to me, this is not something I really want to give up. I started pleading with them not to take it, at which point, I can see one of them reach into their pocket, and another two reach into their coats. They start shouting things at me, but I think I'm having an anxiety attack because the words aren't making sense to me. I'm just slowly trying to backtrack whilst they're hurling abuse at me and shouting instructions to me. But I'm frozen, I don't know what to do, and I'm so scared. This is when fight or flight kicks in. It's either try and take on all these guys, or jump down this steep hill that leads to the shops. Without even thinking, I run and I jump down this hill that leads to the shops. I start rolling and tumbling and barrel rolling down this hill. I make it to the bottom, but I'm badly hurt. My leg felt broken and I couldn't move my ankle. I had a cut on the top of my head too that was bleeding quite a lot. Thankfully, someone saw me jump down and they came to help me quickly. I got taken into a little medical room that was in the back of one of the shops. They called the police for me, but there was nothing the police could do. I didn't see any of their faces and they'd run away with my stuff by now. I still had my watch on me, although the face of the watch did crack a little bit as I jumped and barrel rolled down the hill. Thankfully, I made it out safely, and to be honest with you, I'm scared to ever go back to that spot. I'll never be taking that shortcut again. I'm happy that I didn't end up getting harmed, and maybe I should have just given my watch up, but it had so much sentimental value to me, and combined with the anxiety attack and the general just surprise of what happened, I didn't know what to do in that situation. I'm not saying I made the right choice, but luckily I made it out okay.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialously with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialously with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.